How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Dehectifying. Everybody say it. It's a new word. Never been in a dictionary yet. I invented it this week myself. It has to do with getting rid of that which is hectic. See, I'm still struggling. It's a new word. You can't expect me to know everything about it. How can we dehectify the new year? And this is kind of important. A lot of stress. A lot of people living hectic lives. A lot of people saying, whoa, I wish you'd stop the world so I'd get off for a while. It's like one guy said, I'm so used to stress that when I start to get calm, I get nervous. There's a lot of stress, a lot of hectic activity, and I don't think the Lord wants us to live there. So today, our subject is, how do you dehectify the year 2006? Well, first, we want to understand a little bit about yokes in the Bible. There are five kinds of yokes, but before we get there, let's talk about what a yoke is. It is a contrivance used from very ancient of times by which two animals, especially it refers to oxen, but sometimes horses and other animals, are coupled together for drawing a plow or a vehicle. And so, hence this two oxen. So whenever, say, like Job, for example, Job had 500 yoke of oxen. How many oxen did he have? 1,000. And at the end, after the Lord restored him, he had 1,000 yoke of oxen. How many oxen did he have? 2,000. So a yoke is this piece of equipment that fastens two oxen together. And you can have a strong ox and a weaker ox, but that yoke is designed to even out so that the strong ox carries and pulls more than the weaker ox. Because if you had a strong ox and a weak ox, and they both had to pull the same, might kill the weak ox. He might not be able to keep up. So the yoke is designed to even out the load, and so that each one is able to carry proportionally a load. Now, a little bit more about this. It's held on the animal's neck, as you can tell, by a U-shaped ox bow, it's called. It transmits the force from the animal's shoulders. And then there's a swivel beneath the center of the yoke that attaches to the pole of the vehicle or chains that are used to drag the load. Now, yokes have other meanings too. A similar appliance was used and placed on the neck of a captive or a conquered enemy to keep them from. In fact, if you watch some of the news lately, the most modern idea of a yoke, let me put this next definition up here. It means to something that holds someone into subjection or servitude. You can watch these prisoners, you know, they wear these bright orange costume, for lack of a better word. But if you look, they got shackles on them. It's like a shackle. They can't run away. They can only take such a certain size of a footstep. These are our yokes. But so we need to understand a little bit about yokes. Now, there are five kinds of yoke conditions described in the Bible. Let's talk about them. Number one, there are those people who are not in any yoke at all. They're not hooked up to a task. They're not going somewhere. They have a lack of purpose, goals. There's no direction. Yet the scriptures teach this. It is good for a man, look at this now, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. It is important that young people get into a yoke at a very young age. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Unyoked people just go every which way without a lot of rhyme or reason. They are not fastened in to a purposeful direction. You follow that? So there are those who enjoy being, quote, free spirits and having no yoke. And then the Bible teaches about Christ's yoke. And so Jesus said this. He said, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest to your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So this is Christ's yoke. And then we have relationship yokes in the Bible. In fact, here's one from the New Testament that I really like. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. So people can be yoked together. Marriage is a yoke. Marriage is a yoke. And fellow travelers on the road to eternal life, like we are here, have a yoke. We are fellow yoke, as this scripture says, true yoke fellows. That is, we're working at the Katrina thing together. We're working at reaching people together. We're reaching at the mission together. We carry one another's burdens. We help each other. So relationship has yokes to it. And in fact, one of the predominant scriptures about yokes and relationships says this: do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't get yoked up with unbelievers. This is a really important instruction. Now, this refers to marriage, obviously, but it doesn't just refer to marriage. It refers to friendship. By the way, 2 weeks ago, a Wednesday night teaching on the 16 Bible principles of friendship. Vital, if you didn't get it, to get it in your hands and listen to it. Take the teaching notes. Go through them. Don't miss your family. Don't let them be deprived of not knowing the six. I don't know of anything that causes more people to go astray than wrong friends. Wrong associations. You know what the scripture says? The companion of fools shall be destroyed. If you hook up and become companion with someone who is a fool, and there's all kinds of fools, fools that say there's no God, or acts like there's no God, is not accountable to God, and you yoke up with him, the companion of fools shall be destroyed. Why is it? Because in friendship, stuff is contagious. What you got, you spread to somebody else, or they spread it to you. And you know the story about the law of association. Put a barrel of apples in one bad apple. Is it true that the good apples make the bad apple good? Of course not. It always works the other way around. And so God says, watch out that you don't end up in a yoke with an unbeliever. And then he gives some of the reasons. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? So you don't want to yoke up with somebody who is unrighteous, who is not right, who is not interested in doing right, being right, going right. Don't yoke up with them. And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with somebody who is an unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idolatry? So the third kind of yoke is relationship yokes. And then there are experience yokes. Yokes that come from experiences. Look at this now. The yoke of my transgressions. You can have a yoke left over from a wrong action, a wrong behavior, a sin, a devastation, an abomination, a defilement. Experiences have a way of attaching themselves to us, and they become yokes. We carry that baggage. That's why you don't want to miss. Now, just 2 weeks from today, I start a two-part series on how to conquer moods. How to conquer moods. Really going to be important teaching. But watch this now. A lot of people have moods they cannot explain. They come over them. They wash over them, and they don't know why they feel this way. And sometimes the reason is because they haven't broken the yoke from a past wrong experience. Now watch this. The yoke of my transgressions is bound by his hand. They are wreath. They come upon my neck. He hath made my strength to fall, and I am not able to rise up. A yoke from a wrong experience can have long-term devastation. So there are those who glory in the fact that they have no yoke, and actually the surprise will come to them later when they find out that no yoke really is a yoke, and I'll explain that in a moment. But then there are those who have Christ's yoke, who says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Then there are relationship yokes, there are experience yokes, and then there's Satan's yoke. And Satan seeks to keep you in a yoke. He is the god of this world. And that's why once you get free of Satan's yoke, you want to be careful not to get back in it again. Don't stick your head and neck back where they don't belong. Now look at this. That's why the admonition of Scripture is stand fast in the liberty. Now I'm going to show you that the yoke of Christ is one where there's liberty. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Now watch this. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Satan lays bondages on people, referred to here as yokes. The yoke of bondage. Don't go back. Satan has yokes. All right. Now, the Scriptures now teach that yokes, many yokes, need to be broken. Let's look at a few of these Scriptures, because I want you to know that yokes can and should be broken. Amen. I mean, they can be totally annihilated and have no effect on you whatsoever if you'll get into the right yoke, as you'll see in a moment. There are yokes that are to be broken. Look at this. It shall come to pass when thou shalt have dominion. Watch now. When you have dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. God wants you to have the position of being in dominion over all the works of his hands, yea, all the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, the fish, and whatsoever passes there through. He wants you in this place of dominion. And in this place of dominion, when you have it, you can break the yoke off your neck that would otherwise leave you subservient and in subjection the rest of your life. There are yokes that need to be broken. And the gospel comes to get you in this place of rule. That's why we call this King of Kings. He is the king over the kings. Who are the kings over which he is the king? Answer, you are. You are made to be king. You are made to be royalty. You are made to rule in life by one Christ Jesus. He didn't make you to go under. He made you to go over. Not on the bottom, but on the top. Not the tail, but the head. To be in dominion. Not to be dominated by the works of his hands or anybody or anything. But to be free. for whom the Lord sets free, whom the Son sets free, is free indeed. He wants you to be in dominion. And in this place of dominion, we have the power given to us to break yokes. Look at this scripture. I'm the Lord your God. I brought you out of the land of Egypt because I didn't want you to be their slaves, their bondmen. So God says, I have broken the bands of your yoke. Oh, look at this. Every scripture. And I've made you to go upright. That's what God did for Israel. I will break the bands of your yoke. 400 years slaves in Egypt. 400 years. Now, the slavery in Egypt was not just chains and shackles and being driven by the whip every day as they were. But 400 years is about, five generations at least of slavery, of yoke. And down at the end of the fifth generation, let me tell you where they were, where the biggest yoke was. Right here. To believe you are a slave and nothing but a slave. And God comes along and says, I'm going to break the bands of your yoke. I'm going to make you so you can go upright. And it shall come to pass in a day, the burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Oh, beloved, this is hard for me not to take back my 5 minutes you gave me. We sing a song, by the anointing, Jesus breaks the yoke. This is a prophecy that the anointed one would come. The word Christ means the anointed one. He specializes in breaking yokes, destroying yokes off of people's necks. He wants you free because he's anointing. Destroys yokes. And fasting breaks every yoke. Many yokes need to be broken. Now, let's get to our subject. That's just background. Let's go to, all right, how do we dehectify? Well, let's get a couple things right straight about this word. The word hectic means disturbing, a state of feverish activity. Does that sound familiar to 2005 to you? Feverish activity. Hectic. Now, originally, hectic had to do with a physical disease. It was called a hectic. Originally a symptomatic body condition, habit to a kind of fever that accompanies consumption or other wasting diseases. And so it was derived out of a physical malfunction. A hector, and I didn't know this, I'm going to give you a little family secret. My grandparents, I contemplated them yesterday as well. My dad's father and mother, and they were a wonderful. My grandfather was saved at an early age and joined the Salvation Army and led bands for years in the Salvation Army and then had a Pentecostal experience and switched to Pentecostalism. But I never visited my grandfather's home at 78 Lisgar Street in Toronto. It's where they lived. From a little child, they lived there all my life until their very later years. And I never was in his house when I didn't see my grandfather. When I came down in the morning, was always either on his knees or with Bible open in the same old chair year after year after year after year for dozens of years. But they had this one, I don't know if it's a flaw or not, so this is a family secret, and I hope they're not listening right now. But they had nicknames for each other. My grandmother called my grandfather, whose real name was Roy, she called him Gus. It was Gus this. Gus, would you go there? Gus, would you do that? Well, oh, Gus, I don't know where that came from. So she had a name for him. I hate to say this out loud, but she called him Hector. And I didn't know till this week what that word even meant. It's somebody who was trying to bully you. And so Hector is a part of this word. And the verb, the transitive verb, means to intimidate by threat, to domineer, to force by threats or insolence. And thus is born the word heckler. Heckler. One who mocks, undermines, ridicules with the intent to destroy. So this is so. All I'm saying here is with my new invented word, dehectify, I'm trying to give you some background. I don't know. I'm going to write the Oxford English Dictionary people, see if they'll include it. And Webster's not around anymore. I don't know where he is. I think he's in heaven. But this idea of hectic way of life is not godly. And we need to do something about it. So how do we dehectify? Number one, you got to recognize who old Hector really is. Who is it that's making your life hectic? It's not your son or your daughter, your husband or your wife. Aren't you glad to hear that? Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, he wants your life hectic. Usually, because those of us who live hectic lives don't get done the important things that need to be done, except buried perhaps minimally in a host of whole bunch of things that don't need to get done. The things that make it hectic. Now, you say, well, how does he do that? And so that's why you need to understand his name. He is an accuser. Now, accusations don't simply come from Hector, old Hector, the devil. They don't come from old Hector just saying, you're a dirty, rotten, no good sinner. That would be an accusation, and certainly, hopefully, is not true, because it's certainly not true if you have been, are you ready? Washed in the blood, amen. Filled with the Spirit, washed in the blood. Let me tell you how he accuses Christians. First of all, he accuses them to one another. He wants to divide. But he will accuse you of not getting things done that don't need to be done to provoke you into doing what you don't need to be doing. He can make you feel guilty when there is no real guilt. I call it, see, there's only two kinds of guilt. There's real guilt and there's pseudo-guilt. All right? Pseudo-guilt is artificial. You feel the same way as with real guilt. And how do you get rid of real guilt? We confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you have real guilt and you confess it, you get rid of it. If after you confess your guilt and it's not gone, guess what? The guilt you got's not real. It's pseudo. It's artificial. And it comes from being accused of something that's not true, and there's no real conviction or guilt about it. Otherwise, you and God would have dealt with it. But you got this hangover feeling of being guilty even though you're not. Why? And this guilt isn't just over a sin. If you've sinned, then you got guilt and you need to deal with that. But people carry guilt over sitting down for 5 minutes and relaxing during the day. There are some people who feel guilty if they don't achieve some artificial quota. And So old Hector comes to bluster and boss and bully and accuse you. And if you want to dehectify your new year, you need to recognize old Hector. Second lie, you need to recognize his tactics. You need to recognize Satan's tactics, Hector's tactics. Now watch this. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Now watch here now. We are not ignorant of his devices. Now this is verse 11. Let me tell you what the context is. Verse 10 is talking about being unforgiving towards someone. Satan's number one tactic and device to ruin your life is to keep you in unforgiveness towards somebody. You don't even care who it is. And the very next verse is this one. This is his device. We are not ignorant. So you need to forgive your brother lest Satan get an advantage of you. All right. But Satan has a whole lot of, look at this, plural devices. He's got devices. So you need to recognize his tactics. And so here's an interesting one. Watch the screen for a moment. Let me change the color so you don't miss it. If he can keep you too busy, he has you in his yoke. You will not be traveling the way you should or achieving what should be your object. He will have you going every which way, filling your hours so that every 60 minutes is jammed with busyness and every 24 is filled and your rest will be short. And if you do get to lay down, it won't be peaceful. He wants to cram your week, jam your month, and occupy your year with busyness. And out of this comes the hectic life. It's out of control. Never feel like you are in control. Just feel like you bounce from one thing to another. You know you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. You don't take life at its God-designed pace. You run and get weary. You give it your best shot. You give it your full effort. But it's a yoke. Being under Satan's yoke. Need to recognize him also by the results. We'll come back to the busy thing in a moment. The results of his yoke is hard. The way of a transgressor is hard. If 2005 was hard for you, then you need to recognize that the hecticness of last year was caused because you are in the wrong yoke. See, Jesus doesn't call us shepherds by chance. Shepherds lead. You lead sheep. You drive cattle. If you feel like you are driven instead of being led, you're in the wrong yoke. Everybody? Say ouch. Because the way of the transgressor is hard, and then you need to submit to the proper yoke. Now, here we go. And I'm going to get to the crunch of this thing. You need to be in the proper yoke. Take my yoke upon you, Jesus said. Learn of me. My meek and lowly in heart, you will find rest of your soul. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. You want to dehectify the new year. You want to make sure that you are yoked up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are some people who have a hard time identifying Christ's yoke. So let me help you identify Christ's yoke. Number one, when you are in it, there is no clamoring and no striving. How do we know this? Watch this. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Watch this. I am meek and lowly in heart. I'm lowly in heart. You take my yoke upon you and learn to do it my way. You won't have to be striving and clamoring trying to get to the top. Because that's not my way. My way is lowly. You won't have to yell and scream. You can talk quietly and it will come to pass. You don't have to be bombastic, clamoring, loud, noisy, geared up all the time. My yoke. Learn about it. It's easy. Watch now. Not only is there lack of striving, but it's restful. Look at the scripture. You shall find rest unto your soul. How? Watch now. Watch the screen with me for a moment. How do you get rest on your soul? You get it by taking his yoke. It's a way of rest. Mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical rest. This word rest is an important word. It's the first part of the word restore. Instead of wearing down and wearing out, you are strengthened every day. As your days, so shall your strength be. Because his yoke is different than Satan's yoke. It doesn't require a whole lot of busyness. It is a way in which there is rest to your mind. Oh, beloved. You can try to get rest to your body, but if you don't get it for your mind, how tormented it is. How tormenting it is. See, if peace is not inside you, there's no use looking for it anywhere else. That's why they call him the Prince of Peace. When you take his yoke, you identify his yoke because it's restful. Chill out. Slow down. You remember the story of the tortoise and the hare. You're doing the rabbit thing. You ought to be doing the turtle thing. And the rest. You still get there. You'll get there ahead of everybody else. I'm going to show you how in a minute. Because if you will dehectify 206, you'll get more done in less time than you've ever done before. Now, not only do you recognize it because it's restful, but it's easy. My yoke is easy. It's easy. If 205 wasn't easy, would you like it to be easy in 206? If you want it to be easy in 206, hey, watch this. God wants it easy. He wants you to take this year in stride, under control. There's a word I'm looking for in the English language that describes someone who has poise. starts with S. Can you help me? Has to do with carrying yourself aright with dignity, poise, control. That's how God wants you to live, 206. You know you're in his yoke when it's easy. If it's not easy, you're not in the yoke. You can say, ouch. I said, I'm saying, ouch, ouch, ouch. Not only is it easy, watch this. It's not weighty. You are not weighed down. You don't go, oh my goodness, how am I going to make it through this next hour? How am I going to make it through this next business meeting? How am I going to make it through this week? The burden is light. Now, all of this so far is very desirable, and hypothetically, I assume everybody would like to have this, but how does it function in reality is what we got to get. Well, just before I go to that, there are some people who have a hard time with the yoke of Christ. First of all, the hypocrite doesn't fit in the yoke very good at all. He pretends to be in the yoke of Christ, but keeps on serving his master. It's not easy to those who haven't put their head and neck fully into the yoke. Don't let your soul draw back. Don't even look back. He that putteth hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. You can't do the kingdom stuff without being inserted head, neck, shoulders fully into the yoke of Christ. Not easy. If you don't really get into the yoke of Christ, you can be religious, go to church, do all the things, but and it's not easy to the self-willed. Because the self-willed don't want the restraint that comes from the yoke. And you're going to see in a moment in the diagram that we do a whole lot of stuff in a whole lot of different directions out of our self-will, and it's not part of the directed life. Because the purpose of a yoke is to have ourselves so hooked up with Christ that wherever he's going, we're going. We don't get out of the yoke. We don't take a vacation or any side trips. We live a directed life. So let's talk about how this works. Living in Christ's yoke is the directed life. Now, I put red and yellow up here. The red represents the Lord Jesus. And this is where he's going. And the yellow represents me. If I am not in the yoke, then I'm going this way, and I'm going that way. And I may decide to go this way for a while, and I may go that way. I'll just spend some time. Because we're not in the yoke. Because if we were in the yoke, this is where we would be. We are buddied up with the Lord. We are in a relationship with him whereby if he turns left, we turn left. And if he turns right, we turn right. And if he goes straight forward, we go straight. And if he stops, we stop. Because we're in the yoke. The yoke is a directed life. Okay, now watch. If you're going to dehectify this coming year, we need to eliminate all activities that are not directed. They're not in the yoke. So we got all these arrows representing every which way we could go. And by the way, This is where it's busy. Watch the diagram. It's busy out here. It's busy over here. But watch this now. This isn't busy here. You stay in the directed life. If you stay in the yoke, it is easy. The burden is light. Out here is very busy. And by the way, out here is all the wasted places. Wasted time. Wasted energy. Wasted emotions. Wasted activities. You can spend, and we do, because of all these busy things that aren't in the yoke, and they all are wasteful. Watch it. Watch the diagram with me. This is where hectic is. Watch again. There is no hectic here. The hectic is out here. Eliminate all activities that are not directed, that are not in the yoke. Because life in Christ's yoke is easy. Now watch here now. Second step is before you do anything, think anything, go anywhere, commit to any activity, first confirm that each activity is a directed activity. This, my friends, is the way to dehectify this coming year. Now, if you go to the English language, dictionary rather, and you probably learned it not in English class, but you probably learned it in math class. You probably learned it in geometry. Do you remember? I don't even know what grade they teach geometry in anymore. But I remember geometry classes real well. And the first thing, you know, that's where you learn the thing about shapes. Straight lines, triangles, circles, rectangles, squares, etc., right? And the first thing we learned is the definition of a straight line. Anybody know what it is? The shortest distance between two points. Is a line. In other words, if this is point A here and this is point B over here, the shortest distance from this one to this is going to be a straight line. It's the shortest distance between two points. I want to suggest to you that the shortest distance between where you are and where you need to go is the path directed by God. Now, the children of Israel had to go from Egypt to Israel. Do you know how far that is? 11 days journey. Do you know how long it took them to get there? 40 years. What God has for you to accomplish in this life has got lots of room for time left over. But if you do the hectic thing, if you do the busy thing under Satan's yoke, if you get off and all these tangents go every which way, 40 years down the road, you may not have gone the 11 days yet. To dehectify means to eliminate any idea, thought. You know, I don't have any problem eliminating thoughts. Do you? This is my Cambridge College, my Harvard, right here. We who are governed by this book That's why I say I would rather have a knowledge of the Bible without an education than an education without a knowledge of the Bible. The shortest distance between two points is the directed life. If you and I can limit, watch this, eliminate activities that are not directed, and we first confirm, and I say first because you have to confirm it first. No sense finding out after you've done it. You can't wander over here for 2 years or 2 months on something and then find out, oh, I wasn't supposed to be doing that. You want to get the confirmation before you start the journey. If we will do that, we will live the directed life. Now, a de-hectified life. Now, what do we mean by a directed life? With this, I close. Number one, it means a life that is directed by God in every area. Listen to the scripture. You can probably quote it. Eyes closed. You don't need the scripture in front of you to quote this one, do you? In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And this will happen every single time. He will direct the plurality of paths that you must travel. He shall direct. Oh, dear friends, this is the refreshing. I can get done in 206 everything that needs to get done, and I can probably do it with lots of pleasure and leisure at the same time. No hectic, no stress, no pressure, because I only do that which is directed. Now, the problem of not having direction isn't really the problem of not having direction. It's the problem of not, watch this now, acknowledging him. Look at this word, in all your ways. Let's go back, if we could imagine the diagram. This is a directed life. And the way of friendships, well, you can get away out here unless you acknowledge him. He'll direct your friendships. He'll direct your associations. He'll direct your business appointments. There isn't anything he doesn't want to partner with you about. You know why? Because y'all in the yoke together. You're not going to be able to drag him off course. You can pull your head out and go over there if you want, but guess what? We're back to being busy. We're back to the hectic. We're back to being out of control. Huh? Everybody getting it? Directed by God. Let's do a couple more verses on this one. Oh, Lord, look at this now. I know that the way of man is not in himself. Watch it. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We are not capable of it without him. Now, I know this is ugly to some news to some of you. Listen to what Jesus said. And it is a confrontation of your ego. Listen to him. Without me, you can do. Huh? And how much is nothing? Zero. Now, in contrast to that, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Where does this strength come from? This strength comes from being in the yoke. And when it's time to carry, he carries more than we have to carry. But you got him working for you. Oh, my goodness, this is so good. It is not in man to direct, That's why in all our ways we must acknowledge him and he shall direct. A directed life is a life directed by God. Look at a couple of verses, then we'll get on. Now, God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, I love this, direct our way. Let's go one more. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The undirected life is an unconverted life. Some people think they can love God and do whatever they want. They're fooling themselves about love. She said, if you love me, you keep my... Yeah, see, something wrong with the picture. All right. So, directed life is a life that's directed by God. Yeah, I forgot I had this one. We sang that one. Secondly, it's directed by truth. I, the Lord, love judgment, and I will direct their work in truth. And I will make a everlasting covenant with them. If you let God direct you through his truth, he covenants with you to be with you in it. Praise his name. So, let's go for another verse on this one. The directed life is a life directed by God and directed by truth. Order my steps in thy word. Because anything else is iniquity. Doing my own thing, doing my own route. Directed by truth. Thirdly, to live in Christ's yoke, the directed life, we are directed by righteousness. Look carefully at the scripture. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way. The righteousness shall direct his way. We are directed by what's right. If there's anything wrong, we don't go that way. Well, how much wrong does it have to be before you decide not to go that way? So what if there's an option? Look at this is the directed life here with in the yoke of the Lord. And there's a temptation to go over here and there might look like some lot of benefits in it. But a little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little poison poisons the whole pie. Yeah? So you know that if anything is shady, if it's gray, that's the wrong way to go. Directed life is directed by God, directed by truth, directed by righteousness. It's directed by wisdom. And please note the scripture. I think I took my 5 minutes back, didn't I? Wisdom is profitable to direct. Wisdom is profitable to direct. Okay, now watch this because this scripture is so good. If the iron be blunt and you don't wet the edge, everybody know what that means? Guys do. In other words, if you got an axe and it's dull and you don't put the edge of the axe, the sharp end of it, against a whetting stone and grind it till it's sharp, look what will have to happen. Then you must put a whole lot more strength behind it. Got it? Here's this big old tree, got to come down, and you got this dull axe. If you do not sharpen it, then you're going to have to slug and slug and slug, and you may never get the tree down. You're going to have to use up more energy. Now watch this. But instead, wisdom But wisdom is profitable to direct. In other words, in the directed life that's directed by God, directed by truth, directed by righteousness, and directed by wisdom, you get the job done with less expenditure of energy and strength. You all got it? Directed by wisdom. And lastly, directed by prayer. In everything by prayer. In everything by prayer. In everything by prayer. This is the directed life. And I want you once again to see the results. No, nothing going on over here. All this hectic, all this other stuff. So much gets eliminated because we only do that which is directed by God, directed by truth, directed by righteousness, directed by wisdom, and directed by prayer. Key is to be in the yoke. Amen.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.